This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with me, Melissa Idris, Ibrahim Sani, and also Julian Ng. 8:47 right now. In the business headlines, we've got ANZ, Sime Darby, as well as Donald Trump. The US under President Donald Trump, could they join China-backed AIIB? Let's discuss. Okay, starting with ANZ Group, they have reportedly admitted their inability to stop the misappropriation of funds through their Malaysian affiliate, AmBank, in relation to the controversy surrounding 1MDB. Now, according to The Edge, ANZ said that it's unsure whether it can prevent similar scandals happening in the future because they say they have limited scrutiny over AmBank's actions.
I think this is a very sad situation for a bank like ANZ, and it's been known for quite a while that they want to sell off their stakes in various parts of the region, but more so in Malaysia. I think this has got to do with the 1MDB saga and all that money transfers that went through their books, with ANZ not having some degree of control over that. It does not reflect well on the governance of the country.
Yeah, well, okay. But what about the governance of the parent group of ANZ, right? They've got 24% stake in AmBank. For them to say that, look, we don't have that much scrutiny over AmBank, we can't guarantee this will not happen again in the future, can they make that disclaimer?
I think whether or not they can or cannot make is secondary. I think they want to
really
yeah, because right now they want to maintain that perception that they are not, you know, complicit in the whole saga, right? And this is, to me, more to appease their investors outside of Malaysia, their investors in
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's a reflection of some higher power, if I may read between the lines, of influencing what they do. I mean, I saw a report today on The Edge Financial Daily that Tony Pua was saying that Bank Negara is behind other regulators and other central bankers in prosecuting people for that 1MDB saga for various transgressions. Mm. Malaysia has not made any visible prosecution that we know of. So as far as ANZ is concerned, I think that is the kind of thing they're suggesting right now.
You see, that is the argument that supports my claim, actually, because of the fact that Malaysia is not doing anything, right? ANZ is trying to show that they want to, you know, distance themselves from this saga going forward. And, you know, owning 24% of a company doesn't make it a subsidiary. It makes it an affiliate company. But just because you don't have control over your affiliate company, it's not, in my opinion, not sinful, because it's not a subsidiary just yet.
My favorite quote is that, you know, the one that says, the only thing that evil needs to triumph is when good men do nothing.
Oh.
I love that quote. Okay, anyway, but just can I come back to ANZ? They said that this was ANZ CEO Shane Elliott, quoted by the Financial Times. They said, despite they own the 24% stake in AmBank, and they have two of their directors on the board, boards don't review account opening documents and look at suspicious transaction reporting. So obviously there was nothing I saw, according to Shane Elliott.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the only option left to ANZ is to actually sell off the stakes and have the directors resign in protest. I think that's the next step for them to do.
Okay, well, let's move on to other big headlines this morning. Sime Darby made the front cover of the Edge Financial Weekly the Edge Weekly this week's issue with the headline, Breaking Up Sime Darby. So The Edge was questioning why the plans to break up the conglomerate, why now, by shareholder PNB. And they've responded. Today, Sime Darby has said that they, in fact, are doing so because they want to improve shareholder value, including the potential listings of its assets.
You know, at the end of the day, this is very interesting because very rare do we see companies responding to some of the articles written by the press. And Sime Darby is actually managing that expectation by saying as generic as that, trying to improve shareholders, you know, value and expectations. But I think what we're looking for is something more concrete. What they want to do is unwind that mega merger that we saw a few decades ago. If it's not feasible for them to manage these kind of big companies, right, why merge in the first place? And I think this is the whole point of the opposition and protest when the merger was supposed to happen back then, when Golden Hope and Unilever.
So you
kind
of create this conglomerate, then 10 years down the road, you break it up.
So you create a mess and you're trying to unmess it. That's what they did. That's what they did right now.
Actually, there has always been the so-called conglo discount, right? Where the market capitalization is not as high as the sum of its individual parts. And that is a problem right now. And to me, this is also the extension of the kind of awe that Malaysians hold for fund managers. And I think managers of conglomerates are like fund managers. The point is that will they be able to do better than the investors themselves, you know, sitting in that seat on Sime Darby and managing all these vast and diverse businesses, whether they'll be able to do better than investors who go and seek other of the same investments directly, would they be able to do better? And the world is their oyster. They could go anywhere to achieve that.
So the idea of putting a conglomerate together to kind of put all these different business arms under one roof is so there's some kind of synergy, right? But if you're saying that there's a in terms of share price as a conglo discount, I love that.
I don't know whether there's a synergy between Plantation, Motor. Maybe Plantation and Property, yes. Maybe there is a synergy there because all those disused plantation land, you can turn them into property development project. But Sime Darby's business is actually so vast.
Yeah.
So I don't know that. There's also an extension of the GLC mentality that we see in Malaysia. The fact that GLCs are so powerful and they own so many companies in Malaysia gives me the impression that there is no other way that all GLCs are supposed to be conglos and owning all these diverse sets of businesses.
Donald Trump, now the president-elect of the U.S., what's his relationship with China? Apparently, he's had his first phone call with Chinese President Xi Jinping. They have promised to create better ties between the two countries. And quite ironic, given all the China bashing Donald Trump did during the campaign trail. However, now there's news that the U.S. could even join the AIIB, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, which is led by China.
Yeah, so the AIIB chief, Jin Li Kyun, said that he has understood from some of Trump's advisors that U.S. was not going to oppose joining the AIIB. Of course, we'll see more of this conversation going forward. One thing interesting about the creation of AIIB was that it was meant to carve out the U.S. It was meant to be the counterbalance to the World Bank and the IMF, which is predominantly a US-based organization. So if the US joins AIIB, what would be the barter trade between China and the US? Would it mean that China would have more influence in the World Bank or IMF in order for US to have more influence in AIIB?
Well, the idea of the AIIB, the argument that they put forth was that, Asians will have more of a say of development within Asia. So, we chart our own destiny.
I think
I've just added that tagline. Don't mind me. But anyway,
it's a good tagline.
But anyway,
AIIB should use that tagline.
You can call me. But what I'm trying to say is that I remember when Japan was looking at joining, they were heavily pressured by Washington not to join, being an ally of the US.
But yeah, hang on, I think was the Washington under Obama, Melissa. This is the Washington under.
So I don't think that China is necessarily averse to the idea of United States joining the AIIB because they will horse trade and get something back in return. And if China manages to get more voting rights under the IMF or the World Bank, then perhaps, what's the tagline again? The voice of Asia.
Asia to chart its own destiny.
To chart its own destiny. And, on the other side, also, Trump seems to have reduced his rhetoric on China, saying that he wants to, quote-unquote, establish the strongest relationship ever between China and the United States. So all these worries about trade protectionism, I'm not sure how that's going to translate into policy in the relationship between U.S. and China.
One reporter in the U.S. says that Trump does use a lot of superlatives and adjectives. He says great, he says fabulous, fantastic,
huge.
Beautiful, huge.
Huge.
Right? And with this relationship, right, he says he's going to build a fantastic relationship with China. So you're right, Julian. No one actually knows how this relationship will be fantastic. Perhaps the U.S. joining EIB could be that.
Okay. Well, very quickly, let's take a look at Telecom, because they've signed a 15-year contract to provide digital terrestrial television broadcasting services to MyTV. MyTV being a network service provider controlled by Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar Al-Bukhari. Now, Malaysia is kind of moving away from analog terrestrial TV, moving into digital terrestrial TV. I believe the deadline is sometime soon next year. And to do this, I think MyTV is trying to find some people to work with, Telecom Malaysia being one of them.
Yeah, a few months back, right, MyTV was heavily criticized for having such a high price, and they've reduced the subscription fee to allow for more people to sign up with them. I don't know whether that has anything to do with TM's collaboration with them today. Perhaps it could be that they need to raise funds elsewhere because of the non-revenue that they're going to get because of the slashing of prices. But one thing is for sure, they do serve a large clientele. There's over 20 million people that still watches terrestrial TV. So the volume is still huge.
Yeah, I mean, the terrestrial channels are still there, but the way of beaming it could be very different because you can certainly get shows on the internet and not through your antenna. Do people still use antenna or satellite dishes or whatever it is, right? And I think that, Telecom has got to, they'll be a winner at the end of the day because they still need to use Telecom's infrastructure. But Telecom also at the same time needs to raise their game in the internet speeds and so on.
Okay.
Well, one thing for sure is that because of the crowded space in the FTA TV channel, MCMC
FTA
has approved...
FTA being free-to-air.
Free-to-air, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And MCMC has approved 12 new approved free-to-air TVs. Now, the total number of channels out there or providers is 43. And, we have only so much population. We have only so much
channels. We have only 24 hours.
Yeah, how are we going to watch? Binge watch,
lah. Yes, okay. Perhaps.
All right. We've got the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia with Azlin Balkis in the News Bulletin next, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.